Well, good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing today? It's a lovely day. It's going to be probably warm again, but we're in here where it's warm and cozy with God's presence, and that's the main thing. So as we prepare this morning, would you just pray with me? Father, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you for what you're going to do in our midst today. We thank you for everything that's going to take place. But Father, we've come to honor you. We've come to worship you. We've come to adore you this morning. So as we even start, as our service starts this morning, we lift up our hearts to sing praise to you and to just tell you how much we love you this morning. Amen, church? In Jesus' name, let's do it. Well, this first song says we're going to worship him for who he is, not for all the good things he's done. We do that, but it's really about who he is, and he's worthy of praise. Amen. Let's do it. One, two, three, four. Standing here in your presence, thinking of the good things you have done, waiting here patiently just to hear your still small voice again. Holy, righteous, faithful to the end. Savior, healer, redeemer, and friend. I will worship you for who you are. I will worship you for who you are. I will worship you for who you are. Jesus. Standing here in your presence, thinking of the good things you have done, waiting here patiently just to hear your still small voice again. Holy, righteous, faithful to the end. Yes, you are Savior. Thank you.
Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Great day to worship the Lord on Sunday, the Lord's Day. You know, it's called the Lord's Day because he rose from the dead on the first day of the week, which is a Sunday. And that's why we gather every week to worship and lift up his great name. Hey, if you're a guest with us, we have a gift for you. We've got this travel mug with our church name on it, Sebastopol Christian Church. And we'd love to give this to you as a gift, just a little souvenir for being here. Please fill out this welcome card, and we'll exchange the card for the cup after the service in the lobby area. Hey, I hope you had a great week. I had a great surprise. Two friends from Southern California on Tuesday and Wednesday, they both called me up and just said, "Hey, Jim, I'm in town. You want to get together?" So I got to catch up with two old friends. And I hope you guys had a great week, too. So let's turn and greet each other and share how your week has gone.
Turn it back over to us.
All right, everyone, we're going to continue our worship this morning. Please, finish up your conversation, return to your seat. We have a special guest with us today. I don't know if you guys know, but our church supports a number of different mission agencies who are out there spreading God's word. And one of the ones that we're most proud of are the Gideons. And so we've got a representative to tell us more about their ministry. Bob Reynolds, would you please welcome Bob?
A short time ago, Gideons were distributing scriptures in Porto Alegre, Brazil, and one of the Gideons was standing in the quad handing these testaments out to the students that went by. He was having a great day. Students were happy to receive these. He handed one to a young man that was walking by. The young man turned to him and very rudely made some comments, and then he took that scripture and he threw it just as hard as he could up onto the roof of the school. The Gideon was a little bit shook up, but he got his composure back and he went on handing out testaments the rest of the day, and the day went well. At the end of the day, a man came up to him and he said, "Thank you." The Gideon kind of looked at him and he said, "Well, you see, I was working on the roof of the school today. And I was contemplating suicide because my life is really messed up. And all of a sudden, this Bible hit me on the head. So I sat down and I started reading it, and I have committed my life to Jesus Christ. So thank you." Well, the church supplied that scripture. The Gideons distributed it, sowed it, and the Lord reaped the harvest. And it's because of churches like this contributing as a monthly part of what you do to support us that you were there when Luis received that testament. it makes it possible for us to take copies of God's word and place them in the crossroads of life. Gideons are an organization of Christian business and professional men and our wives. We are an extended missionary arm of your church and others just like it. We have one single purpose, and that is to save men and women, boys and girls, with a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through the distribution of his word and personal witnessing. We are involved in the work of the Gideons because of several biblical imperatives, but the one that comes to mind right now is Isaiah 55:11, where the Lord, speaking through the prophet Isaiah, said, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." As a result of placing Bibles in hotels and motels, many other services, we are able to place God's word in the hands of people. We continually hear the effect that these scriptures are having on the lives of the many who receive them. This past week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we were at Santa Rosa Junior College. We passed out over 1,500 testaments to the students that were starting their new semester. We'll begin in just another week or two to go out to all of our middle schools and high schools with testaments for the students that choose to receive them. I'd like for you to come with me to Kerala, India, where a little 12-year-old girl who's attending public schools loved to read, and she was so delighted when she got her own copy of a Gideon New Testament. She read the testament in just a few days, and when she got to the back, she committed her life to Jesus Christ. Her father was a devout Hindu, and he was not at all pleased with her decision. He said, "I don't want anything to do with your Jesus." Asa began praying that even if she had to give up her life, she wanted the Lord to bring her mother and father to salvation. Sometime later, there was a picnic down on the river. Asa and many of her friends who had been accepted into a dental training program, and a sudden storm and flash flood came up, and it swept Asa and four of her friends away. When her father got word that she was missing, he went and offered sacrifices to all of his Hindu gods that she would be found alive. Unfortunately, a few days later, her body was found. And later on, Asa's father began to look through her personal belongings. He found her diary and began to read it, and found in there several places where she had written down her prayer that her parents would come to salvation, even if it cost her her life. And so he turned and picked up that little testament that she had received because he knew it was very precious to her, and he began to read it. And because of that little testament, her mother and father accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Her father developed a tract telling Asia's story. And to date, thousands of people in India have come to the Lord because of that tract. So one little Gideon testament in the hands of a little Hindu girl in India has caused thousands to come to the Lord. Locally, we do a lot of things in conjunction with the Redwood Gospel Mission, their birthday party for the homeless, their Thanksgiving outreach, and many other things. And together we pass out over 4,000 scriptures a year just working with them. In order to do that, we need your help. And we're going to continue to reach students, to place Bibles in hotels and motels and countries around the world. We need your prayer. And I would ask if you would pray that we would have a steady flow of the funds that we need in order to purchase and place these scriptures. Secondly, I would appreciate your prayers for more men and women to join us in the work. We need people to place these scriptures in the hands of those that desperately need to see them. And then finally, and probably most importantly, pray for the adults and the children that are going to receive these copies of God's word, that their lives will be changed. If the Lord has spoken to you about helping beyond the monthly contribution that we greatly appreciate, you might consider a financial gift. You can make a check out to the Gideon's International. In the bulletin that you receive, there's a little envelope there. If you want, you can use that to make your contribution. It can be mailed in, or Phil and I will be at the door at the end. Another way that you can help out is through the Gideon cards, and we've put a sample in the bulletin for you this morning. There's a display on the back table there that has all of the different kinds, and those are free for you to pick up and use. They're self-explanatory, but you send them out for various purposes, and with that you make a donation to place scripture somewhere in the world each day. We are able to produce, print, and distribute these scriptures around the world for about $1.20. So they go a long way. So I thank you for supporting us as a church. I thank you for your prayers. Pastor Jim, thank you for inviting us and allowing us to come and share our ministry together.
Thanks, Bob. Why don't you stay up here? Let's pray together for the Gideons. Heavenly Father, thank you for the great ministry that you are doing through your servants, these Gideons, passing out your precious word, the gospel, as it's going forth to hundreds and thousands of people. Father, we pray especially that your word would accomplish what it needs to do, that when these Santa Rosa Junior College students, when they take that scripture and they open it and read it and see your revelation of who you are, Lord Jesus, and how they can have a right relationship with God through you. Father, we're praying for salvations to come out of that scripture distribution, and also among the men and women there at the Redwood Gospel Mission. Lord, your word says it will not return void. So, Lord, please let your word accomplish what it wants to and needs to through these Gideon ministries. And Father, bless their work and the labor that they're doing in your name. And we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Thank you. Hey, before we get back to worship, I just want to let you know a few things that are going on around here. Hey, I understand the women yesterday had a nice retreat up at Alliance Redwoods. Is that right? Heard it was great. And spirit-filled, and you were breathing in God's Spirit and you're breathing out His love. And I know that Breathe series is going to continue, because come September 12, 13, and 14, there are three ladies' life groups that are kicking up again for the fall, and they're going to be talking about the Breathe series and incorporating that into your lives. So there are sign-ups for those three ladies' groups in the lobby area right after church. You can be part of that. Also, September 17, which is a Sunday, we are going to celebrate 50 years of Sebastopol Christian Church's anniversary of ministry, of being a lighthouse in this community, to celebrate all the things that God has been doing here over the years. We're going to hear testimonies and stories of people who've been around for a long time. I'm new here, so I want to hear some of those stories. And also, it's going to be kind of a reunion. It's going to be a time to gather and to reconnect with God's people over the years, and then it'll be a time of vision casting to say, hey, 50 years is a great start, but we want to keep going, because the gospel needs to go out and reach more and more people here in Sebastopol and West Sonoma County. So keep that on your calendar. Sunday, September 17th, it's going to be over in the Sebastopol Community Center down on Morris Street. And also, we're gathering teams for setup and for cleanup, and there's signups there. If you want to be part of that, we need people to help, especially on the cleanup team afterwards. Also coming up, you know, that's September 17. We're going to be praying and worshiping God and asking Him to bless all these ministries that are going to be starting this fall. Friday night, September 8, we're going to gather right here in this room, in this house of prayer, and we're going to pray and worship at 6:30 p.m. It's on a Friday night. Please mark that on your calendars to be here. The day after the worship and prayer night, on September 9th, If you would like to join us, we're having a family day of fellowship together. We're going to be traveling from here, going over to O.co, if you know what Oakland Coliseum Stadium is, and we're going to be watching the A's game there on that Saturday afternoon. You're welcome to join us. Please sign up again out there at a clipboard in the lobby area. And then finally, in late September, we've got an ex-San Francisco 49er coming to speak for us. His name is Otis Amy. Just a little trivia, September 11, 2005. I challenge you to look that up. Otis Amy, September 11, 2005. You're going to see an amazing play that he did that day. And he is a Christian man now, and he's going to come and share his story with us and inspire us men on Sunday or on Saturday morning, September 23rd. All right, you got all that clear? Sure you do. All right, we're going to get back to worship now, so please stand and let's worship our great God.
Amen, amen. You know, Pastor Jim's been teaching out of 2 Corinthians about Paul and his experiences. You know, this song says, "I will follow you." And really, I started thinking about this, that this would be his theme song, almost like, "I'll follow you. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you." And really, that's our lives too, amen? Let's sing it this morning.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. Yes, I will move. All your ways are good. All your ways are sure. I will trust.
I guess it was a couple weeks ago, I introduced a song entitled "Here's My Heart." Some of you may have known the song already, but some of you may have been new to you. And it's a really great song that we can we can kind of pray, I think. It's really kind of a song, really a prayer set to song. And it just says, simply, here's my heart, Lord, speak to me. It's really what it comes down to. Let's try it. Bringing through.
about to help serve communion, could you please prepare at this time? And we are coming to our time of worship in the morning where we celebrate the Lord's Supper, communion. Jesus asked us to do this in remembrance of Him. We remember Him because He is hope, like the song says. He is grace. You know, the word grace means that we get something that we did not earn. We get a gift from God that we don't deserve. We did not deserve Jesus to come and become a human being and to give His life on the cross for us, to die in our place, to pay for all of our sins. But that's what communion helps us to remember. Because He said, as we're celebrating, He says, "Take and eat this piece of bread. It represents My body. Take and drink this cup of juice. It represents My blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And here's a passage from the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, talking about what Jesus has done for us. It says, "Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could He die, and only by dying could He break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Only in this way could He, Jesus, set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying." Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank You for coming and seeing us in our need, lost in sin, estranged from God, broken in this world, and subject, slaves to death, slaves to the fear of dying and the fear of being separated from You forever. Lord, thank You that in Your love and Your grace You came to us, and You came and gave Your life on the cross for us to rescue us from the dominion of darkness. Lord, we are forever grateful, and we remember You at this time, and we pray, Lord, that You would be lifted up in our lives as we stop and reflect in these moments. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, April. Well, we come to the part of the service where we get to the great opportunity to give back to the Lord. And that is a complete joy to me. And I hope it is for you too. So as we prepare to give our tithes and our offerings, would you pray with me? Father, we thank you this morning that it is with joy, it is with thankful hearts that we come to give, to just give back these tithes and these offerings, Father, to you. We place them in your hand through this church. Father, we pray that they would go forth from here, they would do what you've called them to do, accomplish all that you've assigned them to accomplish. We're grateful, Father. You are the provider. You are the one who makes a way for us. You're the one who opens the doors of opportunities. You're the one who provides for us. Your word says you are Jehovah Jireh, the one God who provides. And we thank you this morning that we can count on you because you're faithful. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, and anybody who agrees, say amen. Amen. Well, we have another song we'd love to share with you. It says, our God is an amazing God, but this song says he's more than amazing.
Promises that you do, Lord.
We worship an amazing God. Please be seated. Before we get started in the message this morning, I want us to lift up the people in Southeast Texas who are going through a tremendous storm, Hurricane Harvey. Even if it's not a hurricane anymore, it's still dumping a lot of rain, and there's a lot of flooding and people in trouble and suffering, and they've closed Houston Airport, and we're just going to lift them up. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that we live in a world that, for the most part, a lot of times our weather is good or it's bearable, and every once in a while, Lord, there's one of these weather patterns that rears up its ugly head and attacks a coast in Texas like it is right now. Father, we're asking you to pour out your mercy upon those millions of people that are living in that area of Texas. Father, we ask you to diminish the damage that could possibly happen with all the rain and the flooding, and we're asking for safety for those who are in that area. Would you protect them? Lord, would you rescue those people who are caught or stuck in danger of their lives? And Lord, bless those people who are involved in those rescue operations. And then Lord, in the days and weeks to come, there are going to be people who have lots of needs. And we pray, Father, that you would raise up people, not just in our government, but other organizations and faith-based agencies that are going to be there to help and provide. And Lord, may you get the honor and the glory for it when they do those things in your name to help your people. So help them, we pray. And then also, Father, as your word goes out today, Father, give me clarity, give me passion when I speak. Father, we say, we just sang in that song, Lord, here is our heart, Lord. Speak what is true. So, Lord, your word is true, and your word is what can sanctify us. And so we ask that your word would go forth in a powerful way and that your spirit would quicken your word. God, help us to pay attention and to focus in on what you have for us this morning. And we ask these things together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This was in the year 2012 when my son Tyler and my daughter-in-law Allie, they were both going to Azusa Pacific University down in Southern California together. They did in California what few people seem to do anymore. They graduated in 4 years. I think the reason was because it was a private institution and mom and dad weren't going to pay for year five. So they took full loads and graduated, and 2012 was the time to celebrate that for them. They were going to be getting married in just a couple more months. And so we go on the campus there at Azusa Pacific University, and on the west side of the campus, I'm walking around just exploring, and I come across a statue, and the statue was, it looked like somebody from a long time ago, and he had his hands up, and it looks like he was speaking or preaching. And I found out that that gentleman in the statue there at APU is none other than John Wesley, the founder of the Wesleyan movement, the Methodists, one of the founding movements that helped begin Azusa Pacific University. And you might know John Wesley from being a great preacher in England. You might know his brother Charles Wesley, just a few years younger. You may not know who Charles is, but I bet you know some of his songs. He wrote 6,000 plus Christian hymns, including Hark the Herald Angels Sing and Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. Hallelujah. You know that song? Great song. And that's just his brother. I don't know how big Charles was, but John Wesley was a tremendous preacher, endured great opposition during the time of his ministry. They said he was 5'3" and he weighed 128 pounds. So not a big man physically, but what a big man in his spirit and in his influence. Because in the 1700s, for 50 years, John Wesley shook up the United Kingdom with his gospel preaching. He challenged listeners to a deeper level of commitment to God and to pursue a holy life. Many of his listeners were unsettled by his words. A lot of listeners were not ready for pure gospel preaching at that time in the Church of England. Many resented his influence and his passion, and his style offended a lot of believers, and many churches became closed to him. And so what he would do for almost 20 years is, if the church was closed to him, he would go out outside the church. He would go down to the village plaza, and there was usually this cross that was somewhere on the village plaza, and I guess it was put up in most of the towns and villages in England. The cross was to remind all the merchants in the town that Jesus is watching you. You know, and so make sure you do business on the up and up. And so John would gather people in the marketplaces. He would start singing a hymn, and he would gather a crowd, and then he would preach the gospel to them. And he had a lot of opposition. A lot of the religious clergy and the leaders and the pastors there, they would incite opposition and persecution of John Wesley. Often crowds that he would be preaching to, they would start throwing rotten tomatoes at him, or they would throw manure, or they would even throw stones at him. Homes that he would stay in at night often would be set afire during these years from 1738 to 1757. But you know, the greatest part about John Wesley is he just kept on preaching the gospel because God had called him to reach England with the good news of Christ. And the Holy Spirit, in spite of the opposition and the haranguing and the harassment that he endured, he kept on preaching, and the Holy Spirit would work powerfully among the mobs. They said that many people, it was said that many who came to devour Wesley like lions, they would leave the meeting as lambs. Many found their souls awakened to God. And so Wesley was dragged before magistrates. He was beaten with fists. He was pummeled with rocks. Homes, like I said, he was stayed in were set afire. And how discouraging. Can you imagine for almost 20 years being called by God to preach in a hostile environment like that? Must have been rather discouraging for John Wesley. But you know what? He refused to give up. And his courage in the face of that opposition, it made all the difference, because it was in around the year 1757 that Wesley had been preaching thousands of sermons. It said that in his lifetime, when he died at almost 88, that he preached about 40,000 sermons. I counted 60 years, and it means he preached about 11 or 12 times a week on average. So he was a busy, busy preacher. By the time Wesley turned 60, he'd become something of a celebrity, and now he started getting invited to preach in every pulpit in the churches of England. And by the time he was in his 70s and 80s, he became a national hero. He helped launch a revival in Great Britain that spread to the Americas. By the time that Wesley died, there were 120,000 Methodists in England and in America. So he wouldn't quit. England experienced a revival, and all because John Wesley refused to give up in the face of opposition. His verse, you can imagine, was in the Beatitudes, Jesus' words in Matthew 5. It says, "Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." Jesus said, "Rejoice and be glad." Be kind of hard to do. To rejoice and be glad in a moment like that. But Wesley persevered. You know, even more glad that I am that John Wesley didn't give up in his day preaching. I'm even more grateful that the Apostle Paul never quit on the ministry that God called him to do either. We're going to see some of the intense, immense persecutions that Paul endured during his lifetime in this chapter in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So if you have your Bible, you can turn to 2 Corinthians 11. If you would like to look up on the screen, many of the scriptures are going to be up on the screen. We begin 2 Corinthians 11 with Paul saying that I'm jealous. You know, that's an interesting phrase for a Christian to say. Most of the time, most of us would say, jealousy, is that a Christian attitude? Is that a Christian trait? I think most people in their first blush response to say, is jealousy a good thing? Most people say, oh, being jealous, that's kind of petty. That's kind of, you know, not being full of the Spirit. Paul was jealous. Paul was jealous for the Corinthian believers because they were getting led astray by these false teachers. And Paul said, I'm not going to put up with that. I'm not going to let you go that way. I'm not going to let you settle for lesser things. So Paul says in verse 2, he says, I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. You know, Paul said, I'm jealous with a godly jealousy. Where did Paul get this idea that God that the holy God, our creator, is a jealous God. Where did that idea even come from? Well, it came from the law. It came from the books of Moses in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 4. God's words through the prophet Moses to God's people there in the east side of the Jordan, getting ready to go into the promised land after the end of the 40-year wilderness travels, God tells them, he says, be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you. Do not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything the Lord your God has forbidden. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire. The Lord your God is a jealous God. Can you imagine God being jealous for us? He says in the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before you. It's not just that God is mad at us when we go astray from him. Yeah, his feelings are hurt. The Bible says we can grieve the Holy Spirit. But I think God is jealous because he knows that when we leave God and we go and pursue something else, we're going after lesser things. We're going after things that really ultimately are not going to satisfy us and are really only going to lead us to pain and to more suffering and estrangement from God. And so God says, I'm jealous for you. And Paul says, I'm jealous for you, Corinthians. I want to present you to Christ as a pure virgin, just like he's your husband and he or Jesus is the bridegroom. So God is a jealous God. It's okay. And this is something for husbands and wives. It's okay to be jealous for your wife. It's okay to be jealous for your husband. You know, they are supposed to be exclusive to you and you to them. So Paul goes on and he's pointing out that the Corinthians, he says, you guys are in danger of becoming a weak congregation. He says in verse 4, for if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, remember he's talking about jealousy because he says you should not go after idols. God is a jealous God. He doesn't want us to go after lesser things. So Paul's saying, you Corinthians, you're not to go after lesser things either. And so he says you're in danger of that, and Paul's pointing it out to them. He says if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, he says you put up with it easily enough. You're easily led astray by these false teachers. Now Paul goes on and he describes the false teachers. He describes them and he says, you know, they may look good, they may sound good, they may be eloquent of speech. He says, but they're actually following in the footsteps of the one who's deceiving the false teachers to lead God's people astray. And that deceiver ultimately is Satan himself. Look what it says in verses 13 and 15. He's talking about the false teachers in Corinth. He's laying into them. He's saying, you want to know what they're really like? You want to know the spirit that's behind what they're teaching and how they're leading you away from pure devotion to Christ? He says, for such people are